Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, we're going to put football aside for a couple of minutes because while the NFL is making its way through its playoff run, the NBA is trying to make its way through the beginning of their season. Some surprising things, some provocative things, and some disappointing things going on. We're going to talk about all those things with our next guest. We've had him on many a time before. NBA writer from the Action Network, Matt Moore, joins me here on CBS Sports Radio. Matt, how was your new year?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Good. Appreciate you coming on board. Thanks much for a couple minutes of your time. James Harden is now a Net. He basically talked his way out of Houston and talked his way to exactly where he wanted to go, which was Brooklyn. And it's another example of empowerment of the players in the NBA. Is that a good thing, a bad thing, or just an is what it is thing?
I would say it's somewhere between is what it is and bad. I think it's one thing for players to be able to exert their free agency rights and to be free to, you know, make their own choices about their career. I think everybody agrees with that. I think players having more of a say in the franchise is good, given that they're the face of it and they take the most flack for it. And there's a lot of research that suggests that they're underpaid given the cap max dynamics. However, at the end of the day, sports is about competition, and it's built. There's a basketball ecosystem that exists between the owners, the players, the coaches, the league, and the fans. And the fans are part of it. And when you have players that are just completely ditching these cities and being able to just walk out on contracts, I think it disrupts that balance. The trades are all mandated within the flow of the CBA that's collectively bargained. If the players wanted you to never be able to trade again, they could bargain for that. If they wanted players to be able to get out of their contracts whenever they wanted, they could bargain for that in these negotiations. But that's not what's going on. Is essentially, it's, you know, strong arming, and the owners have always taken a strong arm approach with the players, which is one reason why the players don't feel guilty or like they need to not do these things. Is if the owners are going to hold all this power over us and keep our salaries down, why shouldn't we take these efforts to do that? You know, to get a little bit of our power back. At the end of it, I wind up just thinking that the biggest reason this is bad for the league is, think of all the Rockets players that got caught in this. PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon, these guys signed on to be part of a championship roster that was competing for a title with Harden. They stuck through them thick and thin. They almost got to the finals in 2018, and Harden just walks on them. And I think at some level, that to me is the cost of this, is that all of the players that help these stars obtain the kind of success that's made them superstars, those are the ones that wind up suffering for these kind of maneuvers.
You and I see this pretty similarly. When people decried the Heatles getting together down in Miami and creating their big three, I said that's well within the players' rights. When you're a free agent, if you want to gather with your friends to put together a super team, that's the way the league works. That's, I think, absolutely within the rules, and I couldn't complain about it a little bit. But when the players are able to talk their way out of hundreds of million-dollar contracts after they've signed it within the last year, year and a half, 2 years, and then be able to dictate where they go, yeah, that's the inmates running the asylum. That's where I put my foot down as a try-to-be unbiased observer and go, this is just not good for the league when a guy can say, yes, although I've committed and I'm being paid tens of millions of dollars a year, I don't want to be here anymore. I need you to trade me to Team Y. And damn if he doesn't get traded to Team Y. That's just flat out wrong. You stated for the Rockets fans, for sure, and the other Rocket players, absolutely. But I think it's just bad for NBA fans in general, is it not?
I agree. But I do think that part of this, though, you know, no one's inculpable here, including look, Tillman Fertitta took over this team and then nosedived. Like, there were just signs all over. Those that have been covering the league were making noise about this for years. Like, it was clear coming. You could read between the lines of Tillman Fertitta's comments at any turn, and it was, boy, we're sure playing a lot for these superstars. Boy, we're sure paying a lot for this general manager. Oh, I don't know. I'd love to keep Mike D'Antoni, but that's a lot for a coach. Well, do you want to win or not, man? Do you want to win or not? And, like, as much as Harden, there's been tried to be these indications of, oh, no, this is the culture for years and that was bad, or, oh, no, Harden was out on the roster before. Look, this is very clear. Tillman Fertitta lets Mike D'Antoni walk, the coach that had gotten Harden MVPs and brought them to the finals. He lets Daryl Morey walk, one of the most successful GMs in the history of the sport, and all of a sudden Harden wants out. This is not rocket science to figure out, is that at some point, I do think you have to look at, under Les Alexander, the former owner, the Rockets were one of the most stable franchises. They were well-run. They were well-financed. It was a model organization. The same has not been true since Tillman Fertitta took over.
So did the NBA make a mistake when they okayed Fertitta buying the team? Because you can't just come in and go, yeah, I want to buy this team, make an offer, boom, the old owner accepts, it's their team. No, you have to be approved by all the other owners in the league. I know he's a very successful, very rich guy, but did they not do their homework on him that he was going to come in and try and keep the Rockets competitive?
I think they did do it. If you're the other owners, don't you want that? Like, if you're Joseph Tsai, the owner of the Nets, aren't you like, oh, I love having Tillman around. I get Harden. Like, they don't mind. Their thing is always, are you going to be able to finance the organization? Are you going to be able to pay the fees that you're going to need to pay? Are you able to afford the team? And Tillman was, you know. And look, since COVID, because of so much of his business is customer-oriented, he's been one of the strongest ones, according to reports and what I've heard within the league, of trying to get changes made to try and get that money back as quickly as possible. It also should be noted, in March, he bought a super yacht. So these things can take on many levels, apparently. But look, I don't think the league did a disservice or malpractice in approving him. Not all your owners are going to be good. This is how it goes. But I do think, for any criticism of Harden, and I have a lot, like, he bailed on his team and the city that had been behind him. But there's room enough to also be like, we can clearly point to the sale of the team to Tillman Fertitta as a turning point in Harden's relationship with the Rockets.
All right, let me ask you one more question on the whole, did the NBA make a mistake by letting him buy the team? I was not a fan of the process in Philadelphia. I understand full well that there are times when a team has to take 2, 3, 4 steps back to take 5, 6, 7 steps forward down the road and go down a rebuild path. The Sixers took it to a level which had never been attempted before, and I thought was just unfair to ask their fans. Now, some people believe that word came down from Manhattan and the commissioner's office that the Sixers had gone too far. And the other NBA owners were not happy because the Sixers were so bad when they showed up in these other teams' towns, nobody came out to their games. And how dare the Sixers do what they did? I think they overdid it, but I didn't know that the NBA was right to try and get involved on an individual team level and exert some pressure that, hey, you at some point you got to turn the ship around, and it's got to be now because everybody else is losing money because your team stinks so bad. How can the owners do that but then go, yeah, give us Tillman Fertitta. We can beat the snot out of him. Well, you're not going to draw anybody when Houston comes into your games either. Is there a comparison to be drawn between what he's doing and what Philly did a couple of years ago with the process?
No, because he's going to cloak it, right? He's going to say, look, we added John Wall and Victor Oladipo. And look, I actually think Rafael Stone's done a really good job. I like this Rockets team. I think this Rockets team is going to be competitive. I think they're actually going to be pretty good. The Harden era is over. They can get back to playing like a normal style of basketball. I like the roster. I think that there's a lot of upside here. They'll be competitive. It's all on the margins that you see the cost cutting. Hiring an assistant, a first-time assistant coach. Hiring a first-time a GM. Like, there's just all these signs along the way of those repeated measures to kind of cut back on, you know, and avoiding the tax, those kind of things. But if you were going to talk about Philly, I don't think Tillman's the argument. Like, you just got to say, like, look, you cannot be serious about the Sixers are a joke. This ownership, like, this team's performance makes us look bad. We have to get somebody in there that's going to try and win. the Knicks are right there, man. Like, the Knicks are right there under James Dolan and have been for 20 years. Like, don't bring this to me. Like, do not try and interfere in league in a team's matters until you get the Knicks' house in order. When that happens, okay, then we can talk about the Sixers. That to me was why I was upset with interference in the process.
Fair enough. Even though I didn't like the process, I did think them being strong-armed was wrong. We're talking Matt Moore from Action Network on the NBA here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so Harden now in Brooklyn. His first game back, though he looked a little chunkified to me, he did play very well with a triple-double, 30 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 14 assists. Didn't seem like a guy who was out of shape or unmotivated. He was very motivated last night. But it does bring a triumvirate together that I can just smell dysfunction from here. And I was originally born in Brooklyn, but I'm 90 miles from it now. Between Harden, Durant, who is going to be the guy who's going to have to keep this ship afloat, in my opinion, and Kyrie, who, again, is now questionable for the next game. The Nets aren't saying why Kyrie has missed this time, but it would be a major issue for me. Can these three Musketeers make it work together?
I think in the regular season they can. I think, look, there's already signs their defense is going to be terrible, and that's not surprising. It's not like when Kyrie gets back, their defense is going to improve. They've traded off almost all of their good defenders. Spencer Dinwiddie is a good defender. He's out for the year with an injury. There's the numbers with DeAndre Jordan are atrocious. What the eye test tells you the same thing, that Jordan just can't move and defend the way that Jared Allen could. So, like, they're small. They've got a million wings, and they're very small in the front court. So they're going to be bad defensively. But, look, KD looks back. And he's going to be the engine. Harden, I think, is saying all the right things about wanting to facilitate. Kyrie's the one we don't know about. We just don't know. Look, he didn't necessarily play Robin real well in Cleveland. Like, they won the title, but a lot of it was always your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn. Like, Kyrie very rarely took a good Cavs possession and made it better. He just would score on it because he's an incredible one-on-one scorer. They have enough firepower probably to get through. They're not going to struggle in the regular season. Like, teams like Orlando, right? Like, Orlando puts up 115. Didn't really have a chance. Like, they just can't match the firepower. The playoffs, when matchups get tough, I think is going to be an issue. I don't think they're balanced. And I think that there will be some tension about how do you create good possessions when so much of it is one-on-one play. Harden's a really smart player, and he can play in a complementary role. I think everyone kind of assumed that he was going to want to play Harden ball. I didn't think that. Like, he played that way in Houston for two reasons. The team was built to do that, and it gained him the MVP status, which there are bonuses tied to those kind of performances, both with the team and the shoe, by the way. Like, there was a lot of reasons to do that, and it was successful. But he knows he can't do that here, and he's a smart enough player to be malleable. But he can play more than one way. KD can play more than one way. Kyrie, I don't know about. I've never seen Kyrie Irving really adapt his play. He just kind of is who he is. And that's a very good player, but I don't know how that's going to adapt. I think ultimately we're going to have to wait and see what this Nets team becomes, but I kind of feel like they're going to be a really good regular season team. But in the playoffs, when it gets tight and it gets tough, that's when I have some questions about how the team is built.
All right, one last Kyrie point, and I'll ask this question very open-endedly because it's a very difficult question, so you can basically take it any direction you want. What do you think Kyrie Irving wants for himself out of the rest of his career?
I think one of the reasons that he and Kevin Durant were drawn to each other, and I don't know Kyrie Irving personally. I don't know Kevin Durant personally. You pay attention to this stuff, and you read the interviews, and you listen when they talk, and when you're at media availabilities, and you try and get a sense. I think that he's always kind of searching for deeper meaning, and that's one of the reasons that basketball has become less important to him, why he talks about it as an art, why the media bothers him because it's drawing negative energy when he wants to be focused on positive. I think that he's in a space right now where I don't think winning is what's at the forefront to him. I think personal happiness is, and the same is true with Durant. And if that's the direction that they want to go, just like we talked about, like, they're within their rights to do it. The Nets are willing to pay them to do that and to compete for a title, and they're going to try and have it all. This is the thing. The players want to have it all. They want the market, the city, the money, the control, the power, and the personal happiness, and all of that together. They want it all. And that's, you know, this is America. You get to want it all. I think that for the rest of his career, he wants to be able to have success without criticism, and I'm not sure there's ever going to be an environment, given that the entire thing is built on competition, that's ever going to allow for that.
Understood. We're talking to Matt Moore, giving us some great NBA insight here on CBS Sports Radio. Couple more games postponed today. I know the Sixer game got postponed because of contract tracing. They got down to below the number, couldn't get eight guys suited up, so they had to postpone the game. And it seems like they have one or two on a nightly basis. Some teams more afflicted than others. It's still early, so games are being postponed. They're not being canceled. They're not being written off just yet. But at some point, if things don't improve, you're going to get to a point where you go, we can't get all these games in and be able to run unless we're going to seriously push our season back, which we did last year already. Long-winded, I'm trying to get to the point, is that the NBA has an issue right now. Not a paralyzing issue, but an issue. Last year, they were – let me further critique my question. Last year, they were critiqued a little bit because they did as much testing in the bubble as they did. And people are saying, how come we can't – John Q. Public can't get tests, but the NBA tests this many times for this many players on a daily basis. And I think they took that criticism and critique to heart. So, therefore, they haven't gone out of their way to make sure their players are getting the vaccination shot for COVID-19. And I think it's smart on their part, and they're a very smart league when it comes to public relations. At some point, do they say, yeah, but we got to make sure we get this season in here, and we've certainly got the finances to be able to make sure everybody gets a vaccination. It's not going to be an ongoing thing like the testing was. Hopefully it works, and it should get the shot, and it's over and done with. When is the NBA going to say, all right, yeah, we need to cut into the line here?
I think probably February. There was always kind of the sense around the league of January is going to be rough. That was like a common refrain that I heard from people around the league was January is going to be rough because the players aren't going to all abide by the protocols, which they haven't. The tracing is going to be difficult for a number of reasons. And so we're going to continue to have these issues even with all the testing being done. It's just there's no way to contain it. But that in February, they feel like, one, the increase in vaccinations and in vaccination availability and protocol that's probably going to happen over the next, 4 weeks is probably going to allow them to get away with it. They also, you know, they really just got to make sure that they're not first in line. Because once it's there are other things in discussion, they can kind of slide in. People I've talked to in the league are frustrated they haven't cut already. You know, they said, look, we took flak for the tests, and then we got over it. I personally think that criticism is also insane, given that it's not like the NBA not taking the vaccine means that frontline workers are getting it quicker. That's not how it works. Like, we have to have mechanisms to get everybody simultaneously, and the mechanisms are not problems with production. We have the amount of getting them distributed, and those are problems with leadership and coordination. The NBA is not responsible for public health. That's to the degree in terms of its players. It's responsible for public health with regard to the fans, which is why there aren't fans in arenas. But this to me is kind of a miscalculation. But I do think eventually they'll get to a point where that goes. Now, the issue is that my understanding is there's significant resistance and skepticism from the players as to whether or not they're comfortable getting the vaccine this early. And that there are that's going to be something that Chris Paul, head of the players union, is going to have to work through. That there's a lot of feeling amongst players and some coaches that there's skepticism towards getting the vaccine at all. I did ask the league this week if they have to be vaccinated for anything else. They don't. You don't have to be vaccinated for measles or mumps or chickenpox or anything else. You don't have to. So this is going to continue to be, I think, a touchy point and a tension point with the league going forward.
Well, then I'll tell you what the key is. Kyrie's got to decide. If Kyrie says we all get the vaccine, then I think they should all get the vaccine because Kyrie is all about happiness, personal safety, personal everything. So if Kyrie puts the stamp of approval on the vaccine, well, then that's got to – I'm sorry, all the NBA players have to line up behind him and just take Kyrie's way. I hope you realize I've got tongue firmly implanted in cheek when I say that. Matt, great stuff. Appreciate you coming on board. Some really good insight tonight. You know we'll be buzzing you down the line, buddy.
Anytime, man. Take care.
That is Matt Moore from the Action Network. Outspoken and poignant.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.